Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vasudeva begins his prayers. Sri Vasudeva Uvacha. Viditosi Bhavan Sakshat.
Viditosi Bhavan Sakshat.
Purusha Prakriti
Paraha. Purusha Prakriti Paraha.
Kevalanu Bhavananda.
Kevalanu Bhavananda.
Swarupak Sarva Buddhidrik.
Sri
Vasudeva Uvacha. Viditosi Bhavan Sakshat.
Viditosi Bhavan Sakshat.
Purushak Prakritik Paraha.
Purushak Prakritik Paraha.
Kevalanu
Bhavananda. Kevalanu Bhavananda.
Swarupak Sarva Buddhidrik.
Swarupak Sarva Buddhidrik.
Sri Vasudeva Uvacha.
Sri Vasudeva
said,
prayed.
Vidita asi.
Vidita asi.
Now I am fully conscious of you.
Now I am fully conscious of you.
Bhavan.
Your lordship.
Sakshat.
Sakshat.
Directly.
Purusha.
The Supreme Person.
Prakriti.
True material nature.
Paraha.
Transcendental.
Beyond everything material.
Kevala Anubhava Ananda. Swarupaha.
Your form is Satchit Ananda Vigraha.
And whoever perceives you becomes transcendentally blissful.
Sarva Buddhi Drik.
The Supreme Observer.
The Super Soul.
The intelligence of everyone. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Vasudev said, My Lord, you are the Supreme Person beyond material existence, and you are the Super Soul. Your form can be perceived by transcendental knowledge, by which you can be understood as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I now understand your position perfectly. Purport. Within Vasudeva's heart, affection for his son and knowledge of the Supreme Lord's transcendental nature both awakened. In the beginning, Vasudeva thought, such a beautiful child has been born, but now Kamsa will come and kill him. But when he understood that this was not an ordinary child, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became fearless. Regarding his son as the Supreme Lord, wonderful in everything, he began offering prayers appropriate for the Supreme Lord. Completely free from fear of Kamsa's atrocities, he accepted the child simultaneously as an object of affection and as an object of worship by prayers. Vasudev both is very attracted to his son in pure love. Like Nanda Maharaj, he has also been given the honor of being Krishna's father. In fact, Krishna could not choose between the two, so he let them both become his father. But Vasudeva also, in a way that Nanda doesn't, is very much aware of how Krishna is the Supreme Person, and that he's all powerful. So he's not motivated mostly by fear of Kamsa, not thinking, my child is helpless, I have to hide him from Kamsa. He's not thinking like that. He's not scared. Right? He's a Kshatriya. He's a city man, a brave Kshatriya. The cowherds can't think like this. They just stay out of Kamsa's way. They don't go near Mathura. Oh, to speak of going to Delhi, they never go to Mathura. Except if they have to pay taxes once a year. They don't go near the place. And it's not that it was so hard to get to Mathura. It's only from Gokula to Mathura, less than 10 kilometers. You could walk in one day. You can take a horse and get there in a few hours. Bullock can bring you there in half a day. It's not impossible to reach, but they don't want to go near the place. They're afraid of Kamsa, and they'd rather have nothing to do with him. Whereas Vasudev is living in Mathura. He's working with Kamsa and his ministers. He's not afraid. He's a different kind of devotee. And that's needed also. When Krishna was born, he needed Vasudev, the fearless Vasudev, to take him out of the prison house of Kamsa and bring him to Gokula. He needed this service, and who could do it but Vasudev? Not some cowherd. We need a Kshatriya for this job. So Krishna has all these different devotees because he has desire for different kinds of service. There's need for Vasudev. We don't neglect him. We don't think, oh, he's only second class. First class is Nanda Maharaj. But Vasudev has his place in Krishna's pastimes. Even in his Vrindavan pastimes, he would never have gotten to Vrindavan if Nanda Maharaj hadn't brought him across the river. If Vasudev had not brought him across the river. Viditosi bhavan sakshad. Vasudev's first words. Now I know you directly. You can know something theoretically because someone told you about it. So that's shabda praman. Accepting something on the authority of a reputable person. How do you know there's such a place as Mongolia? Have you ever been there? But you read in your sixth grade geography book, and your teacher said, here's the picture of Mongolia, here's the description. It's on the map. Believe me, it's there. And you believed the book. You believed the pictures. You believed your teacher as authorities without having any direct perception of Mongolia. And you still believe it. Now you're a grown man. You still believe there's such a place. Maybe they told you some lies. Maybe it was just a mythology created to keep you in illusion. But you still believe it. On authority. Aptavakya. The words of a reputable person who knows what he's talking about in that particular matter, that's Shabda Praman. But Shabda Praman is theoretical. You know, there's a Mongolia, but until you actually go there and associate with the Mongolians and eat their food, you won't know what Mongolia is really about. Your knowledge is just theoretical. Someone who's been to Mongolia, like my father-in-law, he lived there for 7 years to build the railway. Now, he knows what Mongolia is. It was Mongolia, wasn't it? He knows what the place is. He can tell you about what Mongolia is about. So, more valuable than theoretical knowledge is direct knowledge. It's something you've seen, experienced yourself with your own mind and senses. You've been there, you've seen it. And now, Vasudev says, Vidito si bhavan sakshat. Now I see you with my own eyes. Now I can say, I know God. I've seen God face to face. even if Krishna is not going to stay with him for more than 1 or 2 hours. Vasudev can proudly say, I've seen the absolute truth face to face. Viditosi bhavan sakshat. So this is Vasudev's exaltation, his he's declaring this in ecstasy. How blessed I am that now I've seen you directly. Purushak prakrite paraha. You are the Supreme Lord, the creator and controller of everything that they taught me about in school, that my parents told me, the Brahmins told me about, I read about in the Upanishads, in the Puranas. That's you, and here you are right in front of me. Kevalana Bhavananda Swarupa. Your Swarupa, your actual identity, what you are and what you experience and what you do is all Kevalanubhava Ananda. Pure, unadulterated, uncontaminated consciousness and bliss. Pure consciousness and bliss. That's your identity, your Satchit Ananda Vigraha. And Prabhupada adds in the word for word purport, and whoever perceives you becomes transcendentally blissful. In the Taittiriya Upanishad, you can hear this theoretically in the Upanishads, but now Vasudev is seeing it for himself. In the Taittiriya Upanishad, it is said, Raso vaisaha, rasam yevayam labdva anandi bhavati. The absolute truth is the embodiment of rasa. Now this is Upanishad. This is not Bhaktivinoda Sindhu. What does the Upanishad mean by the word rasa? Something different maybe? Does rasa mean the same thing that Rupa Goswami means in his book? What else could it mean? Some fruit juice? What else can rasa mean? Raso vaisaha. Let's look at, you can look at the other commentaries on Upanishads, Shankaracharya's and the different scholarly interpretations by the professors. What do they think rasa means anyway? I can't think of any other meaning. It's the spiritual ecstasy of personal exchanges. There's no rasa without having ashraya and vishraya. Anybody who studied Bharat Muni's Natya Shastra knows anything about the doctrine of rasa, you have to have proper components. Just like if you want to make upma, I was asking Dina Brunda if he knows how to make upma. He doesn't, but we can explain to him. It's not an impossible complication. We can teach him how to make upma, but it involves certain ingredients. If you don't have any suji, if you don't have any vegetables, you don't have any water, and you're not going to be able to put upma together. You need the ingredients, and then we can show you how to put them together. So there's certain ingredients required, and the textbooks, the cookbook of rasa, either you can follow Bharat Muni's Natya Shastra, or you can get the updated version by Rupa Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Sindhu, and the recipe for rasa is given. You require the ingredients, the anubhavas, the vibhavas, the sanchari bhavas, vyabhichari bhavas. So these anubhavas are the preliminary components. You have to have vishaya and ashraya. For rasa is an exchange. It's a relational function. Just like electricity, you have to have a positive side and a negative side, and the electrons have to flow from the positive to the negative. If you don't have a potential difference, then there's no flow of electricity. If there isn't some place where there's a surplus of electrons and some other place where there's a deficit, then there's no reason for electrons to flow from one place to the other. So it's required. Of course, other things are required too. You need a medium that can carry the electrons. But at least you have to have a potential difference, positive, negative. Otherwise, why should the electrons bother to move from one place to the other if everything's equal? If the charges are equal, no movement, no electricity. You need a difference. So like that, you need two different people to have a flow of rasa. You need a positive and a negative, or vishaya and ashraya. You need the object of love and the subject of love, the lover and the loved. Of course, it can be reciprocal. The loved can also be the lover from his point of view. They can, you know, the two roles can be simultaneously switched. You know, the ashraya can also be vishaya from his own point of view. Ashraya is normally the devotee, the person who's doing the loving. And the vishaya, the object of the love, is normally Krishna or his swamsha expansions. Both are required. If we're on the Brahman platform, everything one, and there is no distinction of devotee and God, devotees merged right into God, and there's only one, then there can't be any rasa. There's no potential difference. There's no ashraya, there's no vishaya. It's all merged together. No rasa. On the impersonal level, there can't be any rasa. So what's the Upanishad talking about then? Not talking about some merged, formless concept of reality. It's talking about personal life. Raso vaisaha. The absolute truth is the reservoir of personal ecstatic exchanges. Just like the dry cell battery is a reservoir of electricity. Just hook up your wires to it and you'll get your so many volts of electricity. So the absolute truth is all juiced up with rasa. You just connect to him and the current flows. If you're on a certain channel, you've got a certain rasa. You just connect with Krishna and you'll get all the rasa you want and your favorite flavor. You just have to connect. Raso hayava raso hi evam ayam labdva. You raso hayam eva labdva. When ayam, this living entity. I don't have to tell you who the living entity is. It's you. You know, I don't have to theoretically explain what a living being is. Just look in the mirror, or just be a little reflective. You're thinking now, what the heck is a living entity? You know, you're thinking that in your mind. Well, you don't have to ask me that. Who's asking the question? I am. Well, then you are the living entity. Don't have to ask me what a living entity is. Just look at who's asking this question. And you're looking right at the living entity. That's it. I am. This living entity, the one who's sitting and listening to the Upanishad and wondering if it makes any sense, you're the living entity. Dashamo Sisti. I don't know, I can't find the reference anymore, but there's some Upanishadic story. A guru with his disciple. And the guru was trying to show the disciple that he wasn't so smart. You know, the disciple thought he was real clever. So he just took him outside the house and said, okay, how many people do you see here in front of you? And disciple counted, nine people. There are nine people here, including you, Gurudev. Nine people. And the guru said, no, count again. Disciple said, I'm sorry, I just count nine. You didn't count yourself. Dashamosti, dashamosti. You're the tenth one. There are ten people here. So we don't recognize ourselves as the subject. But when one does understand himself as Satchidananda, and understands the raso, the absolute truth, who is the reservoir of loving exchanges, to be a different living entity, then he can attain to that. He can make personal contact with the Supreme. And then Anandi Bhavati. Then the electricity flows. not that he has any potency, much any potency of his own. The living entity's own potency is very meager. But when he connects with the supreme reservoir of rasa, then he receives infinite charge of ecstasy, or more than he can measure, more than he can use. Maybe not actually infinite, but as much as he wants or could use. So that is as described by Vasudeva here. Kevala Anubhava Ananda Swarupa. Prabhupada says your form is such an Ananda Vigraha, and then whoever perceives you becomes transcendentally blissful. Statement based on the Taittiriya Upanishad. Yam heva yam labdva anandi bhavati. And then finally, sarva buddhidrik. The first statement of the verse was, now I know you directly. Because you're here with me and I see you. I smell you, I hear you. With my senses, I perceive you directly, because now my knowledge is pratyakshavagamam. Direct. Direct perception. So, Vasudeva identifies himself as knower, but also Krishna is knower. The Vishaya, the object of love, is also conscious being. And not only conscious of his devotee, he's conscious of everything and everybody. Everybody's intelligence. Sarva buddhidrik. My dear Lord Krishna, Vasudeva is praying now to Krishna, not as his son. He'll shift into that mood in a little while. Now he's in the mood of, oh, this is Narayan, the Supreme Lord. You know everybody's intelligence. You not only know me, but you know Kamsa, and I don't have to worry that Kamsa is going to take advantage of you. There is no fear of Kamsa, because you know Kamsa perfectly well. You know everybody and everything. So I will have to read what the rest of the prayers say based on that understanding. What Vasudeva is going to suggest and what request he might make of Krishna now, we'll see. Actually, it's not Vasudeva who asks Krishna to give up this form as Narayan and become an ordinary child. It's after this, Devaki offers her prayers, and at the end of her prayers, she asks Krishna to change his form. Vasudeva is not going to ask that now. We'll see what he does ask. We'll have to read the rest of the verses. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? Taittiriya, yeah. Titira is partridge. Partridge is a bird. Titira, what's the word in Hindi? Bengali? I don't know. It's a bird, small bird, lives in a field. Has a thing on his head, not like, you know, like a small peacock without a big tail, very small.
Is it possible to see?
Yeah, they have a minute here. Anyway, who was it? Yagyavalkya. Yagyavalkya, you can read in the 12th canto the whole story of Yagyavalkya. He was a very clever disciple, I forgot his guru's name. There were other disciples, they didn't get along so well. Yagyavalkya said, these other disciples are a bunch of fools. I know better than all of them. I'm a better disciple. And he boasted to his guru. The guru got angry at him. Why are you so proud? Get out of here. I want you to regurgitate all the mantras I taught you. So, give them back. All the mantras I taught you. I'm kicking you out of the ashram. Because you're proud. You think you're better than all the other disciples. So Yagyavalkya did that. He literally regurgitated all the mantras of the Vedas he learned from the Yajurveda, because he was studying the Yajurveda. Gave up all the mantras and literally vomited them. And then the other disciples said, hey, here's all the mantras, the ones we couldn't learn. And they all became partridges, because, you know, a Brahmin can't eat someone's vomit. So they became birds, and they ate up the vomit. And that way they got all the mantras, the other disciples. That's is the origin of the Taittiriya Samhita of the Yajurveda. It came from the vomit of Yajurvalkya. And then Yajurvalkya said, that's okay. I'm going to go worship the sun god. You know, and he'll give me some new mantras. So Yajurvalkya then became the first authority of the white Vajrasayini, white Yajurveda. He learned a different Yajurveda from the sun god directly. That's the origin of the Taittiriya. Yeah. Vaishambhayana. Wow. Okay.
What?
Vaishambhayana is connected with the Yajurveda?
Well, that was his guru.
Okay. Because same Vaishambhayana who's authority of the Puranas and Mahabharata. Okay. But that's Yajurveda. The Vaishnavas, even especially the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, if anybody asks, demands to know what Veda Shaka we're connected with, we can just say we're connected with Taittiriya Upanishad, Taittiriya Samhita. Because in the Taittiriya Samhita, connected to that is the Taittiriya Upanishad. And even the Taittiriya Brahmana and Aranyaka say a lot of things about the personality of Godhead. And Taittiriya Upanishad is all about the absolute truth as the reservoir of ecstasy. So therefore we have an affinity. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas especially have an affinity for the Taittiriya Upanishad. And if someone demands to know what branch of the Vedas we're connected with, we can say Taittiriya. Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam. Peace.